All right, everybody, it is game night. Welcome on in. We're going to chop it up over the next hour here on sports360az.com, also over on Facebook Live. We've got the crew. Let's bring in the crew because they are all out. Devin is in his son's man cave. Claudia is down at the arena. Jordy is in Milwaukee. He is walking among the fans and all that. And Spurge, Jordan Spurgeon, he is at the arena as well. So guys, unmute yourselves, just jump on in here. And Jordy, what's it like in Milwaukee right now?
There is quite a buzz going on. You can totally tell that they are a game away from an NBA title. And it's a franchise that has, it's been about 50 years since that NBA title. So the flight over here, especially the jump from St. Louis to Milwaukee, a lot of Bucks gear. I saw a guy in a Thon Maker jersey, which just made my day. A lot of Giannis, a lot of green, but you're also seeing a decent amount of orange and purple here as well. So, playoff basketball at its finest. Two teams that haven't been able to reach these heights in quite some time. So, both teams excited, but you can definitely feel they want to get this done in front of the hometown crowd for sure.
So, I saw some photos, guys, that they're already selling Bucks championship gear. Devin, do you see that? Claudia, yeah. Spurge, you guys see those photos? Jordy, I don't know if you've seen that, but they're already selling championship gear.
I walked by some. I took a photo of some. This is a family program, so I'm not going to repeat one of the shirts I saw. But it rhymes with Puck Phoenix.
Right.
And, I have seen that. There's a lot of – I've seen a lot of people with antlers on. They're going all out for this thing.
Yeah. Wait till you get to the beer chugging at the first time out. And then the food swap. Nothing like seeing the food swap in the third quarter where the girl chews up the food and then takes it out of her mouth and gives it to the dude next to her and he eats it. It's like the worst of the worst of the worst, but that's their thing. Now I know, Devin, seriously. So Claudia,
Devin,
you're down.
I made the same face.
All right. So Claudia, you're down at the arena. What are you seeing down there?
Fans are starting to trickle in. Obviously, it's all purple and orange here, no green. I see one bright neon hat. The kid obviously doesn't know what he's doing because the rest of his gear is sun's gear. But I'm just going to be looking for the best dressed fans today, which I'm thinking is going to be a good time. I've already seen people painted head to toe, so I don't think it'll be too hard to find. But I think I want to nominate like the number one, and like I know we're not supposed to be biased as journalists, but I think in this case, like, I have to be. Like, I gotta find like the best dressed Suns fan here tonight.
I was
that's
thinking
our mission.
Don't you think Spurge, she should have painted herself purple and orange, you know? Devin,
I honestly
think
so. When we're walking out with all this stuff, we gotta find the best one though. It's gonna be a competition.
And I'll find someone who brought paint with them. And then I'll let them make me the best dressed Suns reporter for the day.
That's fine. I wore a purple jacket the other day and people were giving me crap about that because I had a purple jacket on the air in Milwaukee. Like, I don't know. I have an orange shirt. Is it like intentional or is it, no, I'm just like wearing this orange shirt, right? Like Devin's wearing Bucks gear. If I'm going to be serious about this, right? I mean, you got some Bucks colors on you. Yeah, there you go.
I chose neutral. This is gray. I chose neutral gray. I tried my best.
Spurge, what do you see
down
there? I like that. What do you see down there at the arena, Spurge?
Well, first off, I spot a Cross-Eyed student back there behind me. He just texted me, too. There's a Cross-Eyed kid back there, so that's cool. Second of all, the fans are already going crazy. We can show some right now. They're already getting the chants going.
Oh, it's got
the flags out.
Yeah. That's cool.
All the halftime crew out here dunking earlier, having a good time. The PA announcer getting his voice ready. The atmosphere, it feels like a home game right now. And it's not full yet, so maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But it feels like we're about to have a home game when it's just going to be on the big screen.
Devin, I'll get over to you in a second. I just want to know where Jordy is. Where are you in the arena?
Right now, I'm in the like market area where there's a lot of like food court type things. I see grilled cheese. I see mac and cheese, the Euro step.
Yeah.
I'm eyeing the chicken Euro right now. So a guy that just had a shirt that just said Chris Middleton is good. There's a lot of creativity. I've actually seen a couple old school Bucks jerseys, the purple versions, which I feel like isn't wise to wear during this series.
Do you see any Suns fans you can ambush or no?
Not up at this level right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking for Mr. Orange because he's really hard to spot. But,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I'll grab somebody if I see anybody.
All right, go keep on the prowl. Don't leave us though. I mean, we're just here chopping it up before tonight's game, Suns Bucks. It is Game 6. If the Suns win, they play on Thursday. I believe they're going to win. I'm just not the hometown sportscaster guy. Devin, do you think they're going to win, or is it over tonight? Be the guy that says they're going to lose, just so we can fight. No, I'm just kidding. Devin, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
I've been scared because I thought since the very beginning that this Suns team is the better team. Devin Booker scored more than 40 the past 2 weeks, and Devin Booker should not have to score more than 30, 32 for this team to be successful. But when Chris Paul didn't show up, when the Bucks finally see what the Clippers did and try to shut down DeAndre Ayton, you need those other pieces to step up. And Cam Johnson has been there sometimes. Cam Payne, in my opinion, hasn't had enough minutes to really put an effect on the ball game. Jay Crowder has hit miss sometimes. If the Suns play anything like they did in games 3, 4, 5, they lose. And it's that simple. And when you're watching the series and you watch what you've seen the past three games, it's hard to go, yeah, they got it. They're going to be fine. Everything's all right.
But you know what? I look back on game 5. In game 5, they were there.
They would have won. If the Bucks didn't shoot every single shot that
right.
if it didn't go in.
The Suns shot 55% from the floor. They didn't miss many of their free throws. I mean, it's like if the Suns played a lick of defense, and I agree with you about Cam Johnson. I do. I think Devin Booker has been shooting too much. I'm not one of these people that get wound up about, oh my gosh, he has 40. Well, yeah, he's doing it on 30 plus shots. You go get 40 on 20 shots, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, that's great. But I felt like he's forced it some. And I don't know, Claudia, what have you seen so far out of the Suns that makes you think tonight's going to be their night?
Oh, can you guys hear me over all of this? I definitely like that you just mentioned game 5 because 100% like just looking at the stat line, like you wouldn't look at just the Sun stat line and think like, oh, they lost. Overall, I think the whole series has been more competitive than I expected because the Suns blew through the Lakers, which like, whatever happened to you win the West, you win the rest. So based on that, the Suns are winning. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's too much confidence. Maybe it's just because I want to be here covering an NBA championship. But I think that there's truth to when you win the West, you win the rest. Wow, that's a tongue twister. I think I've almost messed that up 3 times.
All right.
But anyways, you know what I'm saying.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna go from you to Jordy because it's loud where you are. Jordy, what makes you think the Suns are gonna get this done tonight there in Milwaukee?
The fact I just don't see them losing 4 straight games. I think are too good of a team to do that. They played a great first quarter in game 5. They played horrendous 2 and 3 quarter. And I disagree with you. I don't think Devin Booker is shooting too much. I think when the Bucks are hitting like 70% of their shots, he just recognized that moment of, I need to take the game over. And yeah, there were 2 shots at the end of the third quarter where you could tell he just kind of lost his legs for a second. But he had to have that killer mentality because Chris Paul hasn't shown it the past couple of games. DeAndre Ayton, for as dominant as he looked the previous 2 rounds, he's looked pretty borderline stoic. You know, they're having guys like Brook Lopez be contributors. So I think Devin felt like he needed to go and step up and do that. So I think you're going to get a similar performance out of him that way. We'll see if the supporting cast shows up. But I think this is the first time they've really had to play desperate basketball because the last time they trailed in a series was 2-1 to the Lakers. They've been at a comfortable position this entire time. Now they have their backs up against the wall. They're still a young team. Maybe it lights a fire under their ass. And they're able to get this one. But that's why I feel like they're going to take this one.
So are you in an area, are you like on the upper part of that arena there in Milwaukee? I was there the last week. Can you look out over the deer farm?
Yeah, I'll try to get it. I'm nearby. I'll try to get over there. Yeah,
just walk over there. Because I'm kind of curious. They're talking about 60,000 fans being allowed in there tonight. Have you been hearing this when you've been on the ground?
Yeah, and I think that's an accurate depiction.
Jordy's going once. Jordy's going twice.
Many bucks.
So real quick, Jordy said he was looking for Mr. Orange. He actually tweeted 8 minutes ago. These fans are ruthless, still trying to get in. I've been hit 5 times already. Stuff thrown at me. Respect one another, Milwaukee. Can you guys hear me? I'm sorry.
Kind of. We kind of can hear you. So Jordan's had stuff thrown at him, huh?
No, Mr. Orange.
Oh, Mr. Orange has.
Mr. Orange can't get into the stadium.
Oh, well, that poor guy deserves it. Spurge, what do you think happens tonight in terms of players that need to do more than what we've seen the last few games?
So before I get to players, my gut feeling is either the Suns win this one close by 4 or 5 points, or they're blown off the floor by 25. Because right now, Milwaukee looks like the more physical team. So if that's the case and they officially worn the Suns down, it's going to be an ugly game. But if the Suns aren't worn down and Chris Paul can get going a little bit, he's going to be the key to this. He's the star player. He's the key to this. They'll be able to win this game. I don't think they're losing four straight unless they're actually just physically beaten down, because that's the one thing Milwaukee's done to other teams in different series, and they've been able to be the more physical team that beats down everybody else and survive these long series. So I honestly just don't know if the Suns are tired or if they just haven't had the ball fall their way at the end of the game. They've been shooting the ball fine, so their legs aren't done, but they're not playing good enough defense. And that's where I don't know if that's a fatigue thing or if that's something where Monty Williams has one final adjustment to make that maybe Budenholzer and the Bucks just can't answer at this point.
And I want to jump on that point there from Jordan real quick. You go back to game one. What was the big complaint from Coach Budenholzer? It was all the free throws. And the response was, well, your team isn't going in and attacking the rim, so you're not going to get any foul shots. You're not going to get any free throws at the line. You swap that around and Brooke Lopez is attacking, Giannis is attacking, Middleton's attacking, and you look at the Suns and they're trying to shoot from the perimeter. I know that D-Book and Chris Paul shoot well from long jump shots, and that's great and all, but I see Cam Johnson or I see Jay Crowder attack the rim, and I'm like, I forgot they could do that. The Suns haven't attacked the rim, so aggressively on the offensive end, that hasn't even been there either, and that's why they're also not getting to the line as well. So I think on Jordan's point, it's aggression on both sides of the ball. Where is it on offense? Where is it on defense?
Well, I feel like you guys have both brought up Monty. Head coach. Sorry, that's the way it goes. Not questioning, you know, the sanctity of the head coach. I'm not questioning the strategy of the head coach. But we sat here and hammered away on Chris Paul. Sat here and hammered away on DeAndre. We sat here and hammered away on everybody. But I've heard very few people have said, what are you doing to make an adjustment? So Coach Budenholzer, after the first two games of running high pick and roll, said, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to send Drew Holiday full court. And Drew Holiday is going to get all over Chris Paul, and he's going to wear him down and wear him out. That's an adjustment from the head coach. And so I have to see adjustments tonight. I've seen some fans that have started to say, love our coach. Who doesn't? But when you get to this point, what adjustments are the Suns going to make tonight rather than we're hearing about the other side of hard? Hearing about the other side of hard is fine and great, but you've got to show me something in terms of we're going to change this up and change that up. And I think for me, it's I want to see Cam Johnson become more of an offensive threat tonight. Because Devin, you and I will agree, we'll disagree on this. If Devin Booker scores 40, I don't think they win. I just don't. I think if he scores 28 to 30, Cam Johnson goes and gets his 16 and Cam Payne goes and gets his 8 to 10, I think they have a much better shot. Their bench did nothing in game five.
So here's the thing, too. I was going to say, so I ripped on Budenholzer before because what I've noticed with the Bucks, they don't make in-game adjustments. That's why it took them 2 games to figure out the high pick and roll. I thought the Suns would be the ones making in-game adjustments. They haven't either. But I do feel Monty Williams and the team have found something in the film, and we see that adjustment in the fourth quarter. It's going to be a long night for the Bucks because they don't make those quarter-to-quarter changes, not as efficiently as the Suns have proven they have so far. So the adjustments need to happen, because if they make the right adjustment, the Bucks aren't going to have an answer for it, because Budenholzer doesn't make those quick adjustments. He goes game to game. That's what I've seen from him the last couple of years. So we'll see if Monty makes the adjustments.
And back on Devin Booker's I do agree with you, but the point is that Devin Booker shouldn't have to score 35 to win a game with this team. That has Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton playing worlds better than what we saw in what, January? He's a completely different player. Jay Crowder should be almost in double digits every single night. Mikal Bridges should be in double digits every night, at least 10, right? I think that this team, when it's even only 7 or 8 deep, Devin Booker shouldn't need to go out and score 40 for a win. Yet he's going out and doing that, and they're still behind. That's the point with how deep this roster is and how talented it should be every night, and they're just not contributing around your star.
Jordy, do you think that Devin Booker is going to try to do too much tonight, or any of these players going to try to do too much early?
I don't know about too much. I think one thing that Monty Williams did do well last game was at the start of the fourth quarter, you could tell it went from Devin Booker shooting every possession to let's get DeAndre Ayton involved, let's get Mikal Bridges involved. So I think if Monty Williams does see that, he can try to make that adjustment and spurs a little bit more. But I think the past two games, we've seen Devin Booker go out and put up these great performances, and the supporting cast hasn't been there. So I think they've really honed in, especially now that they've had more time than ever to go over that film. I think that they're going to try to really share the wealth as much as they can.
Hey, Claudia, what are you seeing on social about Mr. Orange? Earlier, I kind of couldn't hear you, that he was getting stuff thrown at him and everything. Jordan, have you spotted him yet?
I haven't. Not yet.
He can't get into the stadium, he said. He said that he was trying to get in, but Milwaukee fans are ruthless and they're throwing things at him and he can't get into the stadium, which is so sad because we all love Mr. Orange. And like, that's not the Midwest. I'm from the Midwest. People from the Midwest are nice. Well, I don't know what that's about.
That's funny. I can't see you guys right now, so we're just going to play along with this.
Real quick, Brad, one thing that's really funny is I'm just walking around with like a pseudo like selfie handle with me on it, but all these Bucks fans think I'm recording out, so people will just stop in front of me and flex for a second and then like walk out or like say something to the camera that's not picking up what's going on. So that's just what I'm visualizing right now.
That's cool.
So what you're saying is you should have the camera flip the other way.
I don't think I should, though. I think this is better.
Yeah. I know. I like it. So in terms of other players tonight, so one of the players that everybody's talking about and who's trending on Twitter is a guy named Scott Foster. I have not seen Scott Foster in the starting lineup for the Suns. I haven't seen Scott Foster come off the bench for the Suns, but I know that the Chris Paul, Scott Foster, it's the referee tonight. For those of you that are new to the game on the Suns. And
real quick, Brad, we got Mark McClune here.
Hey.
We got the Valley's best. So he's probably grabbing something to eat. But
yeah, where should we go with? Let's get
I think Eurostep. That's what I was eyeing.
There's Mark McClune there. He looks nice. Nice tie.
He always looks nice.
You get a bowl of soup with that? So Scott Foster – Jordy, are the Bucks fans, because when I was back there last week, the Bucks fans were like, oh, Scott Foster hates us. And I'm thinking, well, wait, I've heard that in Phoenix. So
right.
Are you hearing any of that back there about him reffing tonight and that's going to be a big deal?
I saw it on Twitter from Suns fans a lot, but nothing here. I haven't seen any Scott Foster paraphernalia or anything like that. And honestly, like, okay, yeah, that record – for Chris Paul is unfortunate, but look at the last game that Chris Paul played in and Scott Foster ref. It was not Scott Foster that caused that loss. It was
that's right.
The Suns dropping a deuce on the court. So,
wow.
So yeah, I mean, let's call
Claudia,
it like
what
we
do you think
see
about
it.
That?
You let's know? Call it like we see it.
That's it.
No, my name was said, but I couldn't hear you guys. The music guys.
It's probably
a good thing you couldn't hear.
It's for the best audio. but yeah, no, I'm sure every single call will be overblown, as every postseason does, and you always latch onto these refs that hates every single team. But I think I don't know how much of a factor it will be. I don't think it's if the Suns play well, I think they're gonna win.
All right, we got about 6 minutes left, okay, of just chopping it up. So if we're going to go through the chopping it up, what is it that you guys down at the arena, let's start with you guys at the arena. What is it you're looking to see tonight? Because you're going to be in a different space. You're going to have fans there. You're going to be going after fans for stories, all that stuff. Spurge, let's start with you. What are you looking for down at the arena tonight? You have a captive audience.
Yeah, I think down at the arena, I'm looking forward to just first off to Scott Foster officiating calls, because I know the arena, that's going to be the loudest it gets. Anytime a foul is called, it's going to go ballistic, whether it's a good foul or not. Like, I'm ready for that. That's just a given. Everyone knows the story. I did my digging today, seeing all the old videos and the press conferences and all that, because I never really knew the story. I only saw the record. And so I get why Suns fans feel that way about Scott Foster now. So I'm ready to see that. And honestly, like we talked about earlier, for those just tuning in, I'm excited to see who has the best Suns outfit today. I think me and Claudia have to go find them before tip-off. We're going to have a competition. If we have three in a similar section, we might have to line them up and have them do different chants and different things and see who is the best Suns fan here. Because I think that would be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to just what the fan experience is like tonight. Because win or lose, this is, you know, potentially the last game if they lose today. If not, a lot of these fans probably won't be here at Game 7. Tickets are going to be about a million times more expensive than the $10 it was tonight. So I'm looking forward to seeing the fans having a good time in here.
So we're going to come back on after the game is over. Win or lose. Claudia, I'm thinking that if they win, it may be a difficult deal to get you back on because you're going to have fans climbing all over the place behind you and around you.
That sounds like a good time. I'm okay with that. I'll just have to show that experience. But like Jordan was saying, that's the goal tonight. Find the best dressed fan. I'm having a great time. The DJ's like killing it. So if you've seen me dancing on the live stream, it's because I have no self-control when the right song comes on. So I'm sorry. But
no apologies.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to scope out the crowd, see who's having a good time, which if they're here, everyone's going to have a good time. But I know that the energy is going to be coming from the game and feeding into the crowd because we don't have the team right in front of us. So I think it's going to be really important that the Suns actually play well and win, fingers crossed for us, because we would all love to see a game 7 come here. But I think that's really going to translate into the crowd. So I'm just hoping it's a really fast paced game. And I mean, like you said, game 5 was. So I think if we get that same exact play style, but the Bucks don't sink every single shot for 10 minutes straight, then we should be good.
Devin, what are you looking for tonight?
Oh, go ahead, Spurge. I have one bone to pick real quick, too, with ESPN.
Yeah.
So they always show the Bucks road rallies. I know it's an East Coast thing. Last time, they didn't show this road rally on ESPN. We were looking for it. I'm looking for that tonight. They should show it because the fans are going to be waiting for that. So
but
hopefully ESPN's on their game today.
There's 60,000 fans there in Milwaukee, and they're wearing antlers.
That's because they can be outside. In Phoenix, everybody would be in the hospital.
Well, I mean, but it's antlers. It's grown men and women wearing antlers. Trust me. Jordan has seen this, right? Are you seeing, like, adults that are business people wearing antlers tonight at a sporting event, Jordy?
Grown-ass adults wearing antlers.
Yeah.
Like, they look like Rudolph. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, it's hard to fathom. And when you get out there in the middle of it, Jordan, if you go out in the middle of that crowd, you will see the lowest form of humanity in some points. You will.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You'll see guys that are sitting there smashing beer cans on their heads and cheering for their team. That's what they do.
Well, it's like every home game when they show, for either side, when they show like the 8K cameras, and it's never just the people going, woo, it's the people who look like they've camped out for 4 days and haven't bathed and, you know, are using God knows what to stay awake. So, you know, it's on both sides for sure. These are two desperate fan bases.
Devin, what are you expecting tonight?
Well, I mean, I wear antlers like 2 weeks a year in December, every single year of my life. And I haven't been on national television. I've been trying to get on ESPN for years.
Devin's
so
car does too.
Is.
Yeah. Devin's car has antlers every December.
No way.
This is correct.
I've
this
seen his car. It does. It does.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Family thing. Absolutely. And I'm still not on national television, so they shouldn't in Milwaukee either. Nonetheless, though, I'm just excited to see what this Suns team does at the podium, win or lose tonight. Because I knew before this how how mature DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker are. But it blows me away when I see their age. I see them go through three extremely difficult losses, and they all step up to a podium. They're all so well-spoken. They're all so mature at such a young age and at such a distraught moment.
Okay,
I got to cut you off
because we have less than a minute. So we're going to come back on after the game is over. This is great analysis, Devin. I had to stomp on you. Jordy, enjoy the game in Milwaukee. Claudia Spurge, kill it down at the arena. Devin, we'll see you after the game. So we'll be streaming live after the game is over too here on Facebook Live and on sports360az.com. Enjoy the game. So there it is. Suns season is over. Milwaukee beats them 105-98. And the players walking off the court. Chris Paul's already back in the locker room. And it was an amazing run. No other way to put it. An amazing run. Gut-wrenching game tonight. Moments where you looked at it and said, boy, there's an opportunity there. Devin Booker with a steal and throws it ahead to Cam Johnson. It was over his head. And Devin sits there and looks like, well, why didn't you keep running? And Cam's like, because it was out of bounds. And DeAndre Ayton gets the ball deep inside and turns the opposite way away from the basket and turns a dunk into a fall-away five-footer. And it was mistake on top of mistake on the offensive end. And then, you know, for those of you that are going to go down the road of, well, Giannis shot all these free throws, don't even go there. It's fine if you want to go there. Don't go there because Giannis, you're taking away what was one of the more amazing performances. Giannis was toying with DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton had no shot tonight against Giannis. And a lot of people, they're already pounding on DeAndre Ayton, saying it was the March DeAndre Ayton that we saw tonight. So we're chopping it up. Jordy is in the arena in Milwaukee. Claudia and Spurge are down at the arena. Dev's in his home studio. We're just here to chop it up after the Suns season comes to an end, 105-98. Let's start with you, Claudia, because you look like somebody ran over your dog. And you love your dog. And yeah, right. I know. I've got to just put it out there. What are you thinking right now? How are you feeling?
Well, for starters, in full disclosure, I didn't get to watch much of the game. I was out talking to fans. I found the best guest. Suns fan that I know is going home super sad tonight. But I mean, the stadium, the arena's already cleared out pretty much. And fans were leaving at the 1 minute mark. There were surprisingly a couple of Bucks fans in here, which I didn't see them until they were the only ones cheering happy at the 1 minute mark. I honestly, if you would have asked me going into this series, no doubt the Suns were winning. They had the momentum. They had an incredible postseason. There's no denying that even at this point. I'm losing my voice. I'm sorry. It's so loud.
Well, hold your voice because we got to get through this show. Spurge, you're there in the arena too. What'd you see? What'd you think?
Yeah, the fans were relentless from tip off to the end. It was the full wave of emotions. It hits you. It's a little different in here than being inside the press box. We're kind of in the writer's row right now. We walked over to where the ESPN block is. We were kind of interacting with fans throughout. And the wave of emotions from this game really hits you. There was a lot of runs, which always happens in basketball. People like to overreact after the first quarter. It's always a game of runs. Suns get that 8-0 run, 9-0 run in the second quarter. And the emotions picked up. And so, honestly, it's taxing. It's taxing. The wave of emotions in just one finals game. It's a lot, and I know a lot of Suns fans, first off, they're not going to tune in to shows, especially national shows right now. They're done with that, but I think a lot of them will go to bed early tonight because it was definitely draining.
Devin?
You know, I'm one of those guys who tries to always, you know, see the bright side and stuff, and it's just the entire time that I was watching the Clippers series, this series, you go back to the point of the Suns were never supposed to be here. Okay, there was numerous amount of people, whether it be large people, small people, whatever, who didn't think that the Suns were going to get by the number 7 Lakers. When you look back at January, February, this team was not supposed to be in the NBA Finals from how DA played, Booker, supporting cast. The Suns shouldn't have been in the NBA Finals back in March, back in February. Yet somehow they get by LA twice, superstars. I don't want to hear the injury garbage or anything like that.
Right.
The Suns earned their way to the NBA Finals. But what hurts the most, I think, for Suns fans is I still, after watching that game, think that the Suns were the better team. But for four straight games, they couldn't put it together. It's not always about being the best player or the best team. It's about putting it all together and either having the height to take out Giannis or having just the momentum, having the game plan and strategy to outwork the other team and having your stars all play well at the same time, which that didn't even happen in this NBA Finals series. So on one hand, you go, I'm glad that I got to see the Suns in the NBA Finals for the first time in my life in a season when they weren't supposed to be there. On the other hand, it feels like this was the Suns' chance and they should have won this NBA championship. And it just didn't come together.
And to go on that point, Devin, too, the Suns proved me wrong in a lot of ways. I've been on my shows for years saying the NBA, it's about who has the most stars. Stars will win championships. And this Suns team, the team, was so good, I believe, okay, there's a championship level, star power doesn't matter. You have a Giannis on the floor, and he's the best player, and there's no one to slow him down in the slightest. Doesn't matter how good your team is. You can shoot, like, in game five, 55% from the field. Doesn't matter. Stars win championships, the big moments. It's their time. Giannis and Middleton outplayed Book and Chris Paul in the biggest moments. Doesn't mean they're necessarily bigger stars, quote-unquote, although I would say Giannis is probably the biggest star out of anyone in this finals. But at this point, stars win championships, and we just saw it on full display. Those are the teams that win. You have the most star power, you win a championship. The best team doesn't always win in the NBA Finals.
And to that point, Jordan, I want to go back to March DeAndre Ayton. This was not March DeAndre Ayton. Full credit to DA for the evolution that he has gone through from March to now. He's a completely different player. This is the fact that a kid who's younger than me saw the most adversity in his entire life in a two-time MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the best player in the NBA playoffs. And DeAndre Ayton, it looked like he was playing scared because he'd never seen that before. He had never seen that in his entire life. And I think that that is part of the inexperience, not the full inexperience or anything like that. That was the demise of the Suns. How many times has Giannis seen that? And well, this year he jumped over that.
So let's go through this. You know, Giannis the last couple of years has been getting pounded on because the Bucks didn't win. The Bucks didn't get to the championship. And so it takes time to get to that level of play. But, you know, watching DeAndre Ayton try to stay with Giannis, there was no contest. And when you have to fall back on the, well, if Dario Saric wasn't hurt, they might have had a better chance with defense. And all that Monty Williams could do is turn to Frank Kaminsky, who did an admirable job, But, you know, that's not where you're going to win championships, not where you're going to win titles. And those fans that were there, oh, hey, the police are there watching. That's cool. That's at the arena. That's great. We're safe. Claudia's safe.
I was about to get dragged out of here, guys.
Was he throwing you out?
I'm kidding.
He's not throwing you out.
No, I'm not.
Tell him we say hi.
They all say hi.
I think when I see where the Suns are now, I don't know if they're going to get back here. When 1993 happened, when I first got into the Valley, everybody was saying, oh, we're going to be right back there. And the Suns never got back again. And when I saw Chris Paul get worn down by Jrue Holiday in this series, and he's at 36 years of age and he has a big number, and Robert Sarver said on CNBC like 3 weeks ago, I saw him on an interview say, oh yeah, we're going to have him back. Well, sitting here right after the game tonight, I have to look at that and say, would that be the smartest way to go? You've gotten to this point, but your key players, if Chris Paul decides to opt out, that you're building around are Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. And I'm not listing DeAndre Ayton as one of those key players. I'm sure the Suns would disagree with me on that, but I have to look at what happened here in this series and say, okay, is this just the first time around for DeAndre like it was for Giannis? And the next time, well, I don't know if there's going to be a next time. I mean, I think DeAndre Ayton got better and better, but in this series, as the series progressed, he faded and faded, and Giannis's play came up even higher. Let's go to Milwaukee. Jordy Hamm is inside the arena. where the Sun season has come to an end. What was it like inside the arena for you in Milwaukee, Jordy?
I mean, it was a wild atmosphere, as expected. And, you know, it's one of those things where Giannis is so beloved there that when he can literally put the team on his back, he's not only just doing it for the team, he's putting the entire city on their back. So you can tell the adoration that they have. And he was just so locked in. You know, he did the things he usually does. And then he missed, what, one free throw all night? So it's been a very crazy atmosphere. I thought the Suns did a pretty good job handling the crowd for most of it. But towards the end, it just got too little too late. And right now you can see the corridor that I stepped out into completely empty because everybody is still in their seats cheering on the entire Bucks team as Adam Silver presents the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Wow. Are you surprised by what you witnessed there tonight in person?
I'm surprised that Giannis had as many free throws as he did and made as many free throws as he did. But that's a recipe that they've used for quite a bit, is to have their best player just go attack in the paint. And he was locked in. He knew he was a game away from being an NBA champion, completely took it over. So I don't think, seeing the way this game unfolded, I don't think it's all that surprising, but just the fact he came in and knocked down all those critical shots he needed to, that was the difference in the game.
Okay, so where is the blame going to go on this, Jordan? Because you know that people are going to want to point at someone, and I just saw greatness out of Giannis like I have not seen in an NBA final, so I have to go down that path. But fans are going to point at somebody because that's just how fans are. Who is the person or people that you think on the Suns end? I think DeAndre Ayton's going to get a ton of criticism, and some of it is deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it really depends on the game. You know, I think Chris Paul deserves some criticism early on in this series. He did a really nice job tonight. But yeah, for as well as DeAndre Ayton played in the Clippers series, it looked like they were just able to minimize him, whether it was Brook Lopez, Giannis, whoever it was. So I think he'll get a brunt of it. And I think in pregame, you brought up an interesting point that as we got some Bucks fans coming through.
Mr. MVP!
But yeah, so... But yeah, I think that, you know, the adjustments, you know, Monty Williams did or didn't do, I think that will get brought up as people continue to pick apart this series. So I think it's probably, you know, knowing that Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton are part of that big three and they had moments where they struggled, I think that's where some of the blame might be pointed, whether it's fair or not.
Yeah. All right. We'll get back in there and jump back in if you can. I know you got things you're going to be working on. Devin, when you watched Giannis, I mean, as I watched him, when I see greatness, I love seeing greatness. Okay. I saw greatness in Giannis. It had nothing to do with the referees and everything to do with just how great he was. Where were you at in watching him? Were you screaming at the TV saying, that's a foul, that's a foul, he's traveling, he's this, he's that? Or what did you see?
The only issue that I think I had the past few games was on Giannis's drives. And it felt like if you breathe on him, then it's a foul. And it's funny because people compared him to some LeBron James calls earlier on in the playoffs. And in this case, it's like the opposite of the LeBron calls. As long as you touch me, was a foul. But if you even eliminate every single foul, every single free throw attempt, the greatness of one, getting to the rack, two, he seemed to find a way to make the timely three pointers. He didn't make all of them, but when he needed them, somehow it went in. And defensively, he was always a presence. I don't care if it was DeAndre Ayton, the 22-year-old who wasn't able to work against him. I mean, you go back to the Hawks series, and even Clint Capella was having issues with DeAndre Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, yeah.
What the way that he was able to have a presence in the paint, both offensively and defensively. You take away every free throw that he made, it's still three 30-plus point games, just what he did driving to the rim. And what he did pulling up, even when it wasn't in the paint, that's one of those games where you go, man, you know, that'd be cool to see them play 2012 Miami Heat or something like that, just to see, okay, what could have stopped Giannis? Because the Suns just didn't have it, even if they did have Dario Saric, I think.
Claudia, are you a fan of Giannis? Are you like, come on, Brad, he's with the opposition. He's with the enemy. Were you a fan of watching Giannis?
I never really have a problem with being a fan of the rival or competitor or whatever it might be. I also grew up in Cleveland and stuck with LeBron after he left us for the Heat. Not like die hard, but I just admire talent, and I don't have an issue. Like, I think everyone here in the stadium tonight, like, can appreciate who Giannis is as a player. And I mean, anyone who says otherwise, they just don't know what they're talking about, I guess. But I just think as a sports fan, as a sports journalist, you have to admire talent and not ignore it. I really did think, though, kind of unlike what Jordan was saying, I think there's a lot of stars in the making. I think Booker already is a star.
Yeah.
So I think the Suns have so much potential pending that they actually keep a lot of these players down the line. But like Devin was saying earlier, he mentioned that he feels like this was the chance for the Suns. I don't know how I feel. Like, I'm excited to see them next season too. I'm not super confident they'll make it this far next year. We'll see what happens to the roster, to the lineup, but I don't think right now I feel like this was their one and only chance. They're going to be good for a while pending their roster.
No, I agree with that. I mean, I think, Spurge, when you look at the roster, when I look at the roster, Devin, it's a roster that is built, and you have to trust James Jones. I think a guy like Cam Johnson, how does his role increase? A guy like Mikal Bridges, who's so good defensively, but at times offensively just didn't do much in this series. You have the Chris Paul opt out that is, what's the 20th? You know, in 10 days, Chris Paul can opt out. That's how quickly this offseason is going to go. And you have to trust James Jones and how he put everything together. And I think the bitterness of seeing the Suns fight so hard and go six games into the NBA championship series and come up so short, if you take a step back out of the forest, you have to celebrate. I think, Claudia, you put it really well off the top of who would have imagined this, you know, all the way back. Devin, I think you mentioned it too, and so did Spurge, the idea in January or February that we'd be talking about a team that would be playing all the way to the end of the sixth game of the NBA Finals. But the expectation and the bar needs to be raised in this town. You know, the garbage that we went through for 11 years of just awful basketball teams, and now all of a sudden people get a taste of this, a big taste of this. You know, the pressure's on the organization to follow through and to make sure that if Chris Paul decides to leave, that they go out as Campaign, the guy that's able to step up. I don't know. He disappeared in this series quite a bit. Campaign is going to be a free agent. Is Campaign going to say, you know, I'm going to take my talent somewhere where I can be a starter? And how does the chemistry work? Jay Crowder is going to be a year older. But DeAndre Ayton is going to be a year older. Is DeAndre Ayton going to be more of a force inside? Is this going to be if he puts the tape on, does it motivate him? I look over and I see Bobby Portis on the screen. You may hate Bobby Portis in Phoenix. A lot of people do. Okay? A lot of people do. But if I have Bobby Portis on my team, I've got an energy guy that's not going to stop, that's not going to quit. And the Suns did not really have that energy guy, I felt like, in some of these games. It was as though it was, okay, we're going to do high screen and roll, and this is what we're going to do offensively, and we hope to get a stop on the other end. Bobby Portis is just playing his ass off. And it doesn't mean the other players weren't on the Suns, but that was an energy guy. And maybe there needs to be a little bit more of an energy guy on this team. I don't know.
So my thing is, I can't tell if this is shades of the Miami Heat last year. A team that was young and got there a year earlier, they added a veteran star. The Heat added Jimmy Butler. They make it to the finals. The bubble kind of suited them well because they were a young team. They could focus on basketball. They didn't have to worry about family stuff as much. So the Suns obviously didn't go through that, but they have the young talent. They bring in two veterans, Crowder and Chris Paul. Is this a team that just got elevated for a year and this was their one time, or are they going to build? I know that's what we're talking about, but I can't wrap my head around if this is a team that has a chance for three more years to get back to this point. Do I think they're a playoff team the next 3, 4, 5 years? Absolutely. If they don't make the playoffs, it's a shame. It's something that shouldn't happen anymore. They should be a playoff team year in and year out with the roster they built.
Spurge, I think they should be an upper division. They should be in the top four every year in the West. You don't sit there with the number one overall pick in the draft and DeAndre Ayton and a superstar and Devin Booker and put a product out on the floor that is just kind of hoping to be a 5 or 6 seed. No. Those days are gone of hoping to get in the postseason. This is an NBA Finals team. So if you're not going to be at the top of the heap, and yeah, I get it. Golden State's going to be a year better with Klay Thompson back along with Steph Curry next year. I understand that the Lakers are going to go out and do what they do. I get it. The Clippers are going to find a way to retool. And where's Damian Lillard going to end up? And is he going to be a balance of power guy in the Western Conference? All that stuff's fine and true. But in Phoenix, to accept anything short of a team that is in the top four in the Western Conference, because it is tough, I'll give that in the regular season. Next year, you know, this has set the bar at a whole new level. And fans should expect that. Corporate sponsors should expect that. TV rights holders, radio rights holders should accept that, expect that. People like us, if we're doing our jobs, it's not, hey, yay, go team, and they go 41-41. No, those days are gone. Those days are gone. And good. Good, because nobody likes to see a team that is not interesting. This team, obviously, is really interesting. Is it a one-year deal? Is it a fluke? Devin, I think you referred to it earlier about the, well, the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis. Well, the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard. Well, you know, Jamal Murray wasn't there for the Nuggets. I heard all that garbage. And you know what? I don't care. They didn't play in the finals, and the Suns did. So please go away. I feel much better now.
And that's where the Heat point comes up. But the Heat end up this year like a 6 or 7 seed. So that's what we need to expect from the Suns, is to be better than that. Because that'll show that this is a team that's not just some magical run and we'll see them again in 28 years.
Yeah,
I don't think they're that. I think they're a team that's going to compete in that top four in the West for the next few years. Do they get back here? It's tough to get back. The expectation should be to get back here. And I know I'm not listening to post-game press conference, but I guarantee you that's running through Book's mind. I know he's got Tokyo on the brain now, but you already know with Devin Booker, that's his one goal. Monty Williams, that's his one goal. Chris Paul, that's his one goal, is to get back. He finally got a taste. So, I mean, the expectation's not going anywhere. It's just, are they going to have the right cap situation to figure it out? They should. They have the money. They have the ability to make sure they retain their guys. And if they don't, then that's going to be a huge knock against kind of what they've been building the last couple of years.
All right, Devin, what is your lasting memory from this season? What's your biggest takeaway?
I just think it's like I mentioned earlier, it's really the growth, because no one anticipated this. And you can ask any player on the roster and they'll tell you, yeah, we thought we could be here. But I mean, come on. Like, the idea that the Suns were going to go out, I thought that the Warriors might have been healthy this year and they might have been back at this point. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that wasn't the case for their season at all. I didn't think that LeBron James and Anthony Davis would be as worn down as they were. I thought that the Jazz were going to play a larger role in the Western Conference playoffs. But even with all that fading away, the fact that this team goes out and they spanked the Lakers at the end, Anthony Davis or not. By the way, they were winning the game when Anthony Davis went out and the series. They whooped the Denver Nuggets, who played a great series prior. And then they go out and beat the Clippers, who, by the way, beat the Utah Jazz. So I'm not sure why that's a crutch on the Suns. But whatever. The idea that this team is now, like we mentioned, the expectation is here now. Do they have that going forward, though? I think that they might be a piece away when it comes to returning to the NBA Finals one year, because you're going to lose pieces in this offseason. But the expectations are, we went through 11 years of massive garbage. The next 10 years expectation is not just in the playoffs, at least top six the next 10 years.
Claudia, what is your takeaway from the year? Just the year. You showed up here in March. You walked in here after being here, and then you took off and did your thing in Texas. Now you show up here and you walk into this. What is your takeaway? Was it a player? Was it a play? Was it a game? What was your takeaway?
Amarillo is just so much crazier. No, not at all. Definitely, I mean, okay, fans rally at the Valley. Like, I don't know if that was a thing before I left for Texas, but I had never heard that phrase before, and I just think it rings so true. The best fandom I've ever seen or been a part of has been Browns fandom, and they stuck through a lot of crap for a long time.
They still are.
2020 was great.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's the thing I have to compare it to. And it's been so fun seeing Suns fans come out and like be full force, full support. This arena was awesome tonight. So I would say the fans, but also watching Devin Booker become a star in front of everyone else. Like, we already knew it, but I think that it's been really cool to see other people give him and other players recognition. I also think the thing that hasn't been talked about a lot more so early in the playoffs has been the players that have come off the bench. Like, yeah, we focus on the star players. Yeah, we're going to call CP3 and Devin Booker and Ayton, all of them, the star players. But there is a lot of guys that came off of the bench. And when they, a lot of times when they did, they performed really well. And I always kind of like the underdog story. So I guess that's why they stood out to me. But there's a lot of depth in this roster. And I think it goes beyond just the big names that everyone else kind of took notice to that we already knew about. I think in addition to that, being here in Phoenix, we kind of always knew about Devin Booker. So we got to kind of appreciate the bench players even more and see what they could do. And I'm glad that my friends now know the Phoenix Suns as more than just, oh, one of their players date Kendall Jenner. So I'm glad that we've moved on past that there's more to the Phoenix Suns than that.
It's important, so, yeah. Though. Oh, it, you know, it's important.
That he dates Kendall Jenner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
out there. I didn't even know about that until, like, recently. So it's just kind of funny how backwards the knowledge was between me and my friends, because they were the one breaking that news to me.
Yeah, and you're all into the game. Spurge, what was your takeaway from the year or this run?
So living here a year and a half and working here for almost a year, you've always told me it's a Suns town. Yeah. And I always figured that because I never saw, even when the Cardinals were kind of becoming a potential playoff team last football season, it didn't seem exciting in Arizona. I didn't walk around and people were feeling good about the Cardinals. It was just like, yeah, they're 6-3, you know, got the Hale Murray thing that, you know, before they fell off the map and all that. But this team, I mean, from March on, there was a belief in the town. I think outside, and myself included, I'll be the first to say it, I felt like they were going to be a team down in the first round. I think when the Lakers won the play-in game, I tweeted, like, Lakers NBA champions in 2021, they're going to repeat. Like, I really thought that. And that's not coming from any sort of fandom. That was just, I thought the Suns were a regular season team, and they just, I like deep teams, but to me, stars win championships, and I thought that was going to be what happened, and it didn't. And so just seeing the whole team be rallied by the fans, to me, it was the coolest thing. Just being out and interacting with different fans was really cool, because I know not only does the town embrace it, but the players embrace it too. Like going to the airport, booking CP3 the second time, sitting on top of their car with their camcorders, and just, you know, being like, Devin Booker's just that cool guy that just kind of chill, like nonchalant, but you can tell he's like got a smile on his face, having a blast. And Chris Paul is just soaking it in because he's never felt this kind of love from a city before, because he hasn't been on a run like this before. DeAndre Ayton is a guy that I never knew anything about. I've heard stories of him being kind of unpleasant to deal with. And he was probably like the fan favorite. And he was the one interacting with the fans the most, getting out of the top of his car at the airport and letting people touch the Western Conference Finals trophy, however you feel about that. So just seeing that not only are the fans all in on this team, but the team is in on the town, that says a lot to me. And that's why I do have a feeling this is somewhere where they're not going to just fall off the map after this one and done. Like, I think there's something about winning for this city. I do think a lot of the players that are here to stay in the long run, we don't know about Chris Paul yet, but everyone else that's here to stay, I think they want to win for this city as badly as they want to win for themselves. And to me, that's really cool, because you don't always get that.
And Phoenix and Arizona are better when the Suns are doing well. That's a fact.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Jordy, before you wrap things up in Milwaukee, what is your takeaway from this playoff run? It could be tonight. It could be player. What was your biggest takeaway from this playoff run? Jordy is frozen. Or no, he's not. I think he is. He looks kind of like he's playing Pong. Boop, 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 boop. No, I don't think we have Jordy.
There you are. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry. There's a lot of cell service we use right now. You said biggest takeaway from this.
Yeah. What's your biggest takeaway from all this, from the postseason?
The jump from the bubble Suns that had to go 8-0 just to have a shot to make the postseason. Now all of a sudden to be two games away from the NBA, and it looks, I must be going down.
Yeah, your Wi-Fi is just, yeah, I mean, you're in the middle of the circus, so go be in the circus, and I'll get that question to you another time. Go write about it or something. All right, get out of here. Go. Were you a little harsh on him, or you know?
No, I'm glad we were all on the same page, just kind of going with the flow.
All right. Well, here's where I'm at on all this. So, this is Devin's right, and Spurge, I'm glad you realize it, and Claudia, you've come into this. The Suns are the team in this town, and that's how it's been. And when I would tell people in all these awful years that you guys don't understand, the Suns are much deeper rooted in this community than anybody else. And they're like, oh, no. Okay. So tonight, what's going to happen tonight around, what is it, 9:15? I'd say they get in the air around 10. I'd say they land around 12:30 or 1. And I know the airport is not going to be open. I know that that's changed. I'm guaranteeing you that there will be a boatload of people at 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 a.m. at the arena to greet this team. 2 a.m., whenever they come in. There will be so many people will be like, wow. And then tomorrow, when it's 100 and whatever it's going to be, there's going to be more than a few people down at the arena tomorrow to rally around them. Rally the valley, as they like to say. That's coming. I don't know if it'll be on Friday. I don't know if it's Thursday. I have no idea if the Suns are going to say anything. Just know that for all three of you, when they lost in 93, and it was before I got here, and I didn't believe it. I got here in December of 93. But in June of 93, when they lost the Bulls, there were 250,000 people that were in downtown Phoenix to greet them. And they lost. So I'm wondering what the next 24 to 48 hours is going to look like. One. Or is this just a different time now where we're coming to a big city and people go about their business and, oh, the basketball team was fine. But guess what? Tuesday, Spurge, Claudia, and I are going to be in Los Angeles at Pac-12 Football Media Day, and the Cardinals start training camp next week, and we just turn the page and go to the next thing. I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be a big welcome home celebration and all of that. And, you know, I have to be honest, I'm a little worried about Devin Booker going over to the Olympic Games because the mental grind on him to continue playing for another 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. When you come off an Olympics, whenever I've seen guys go play in the Olympics, they come back and they struggle early. I mean, they're just done. And you almost want to say to them, yeah, why don't you just show up about 2-3 weeks into the regular season? I know that's not going to be the case, but that's kind of my off-season concerns. I guess my biggest takeaway is the owner figured it out. As hard as I've been on Robert Sarver and other media in town, not everybody, there's been a few people. I think Kent Summers and Dan Bickley and myself have been probably the most straightforward about what a poor owner he was, but he's figured it out. And he has a title sponsor now for the arena that Claudia and Spurge are sitting in. That's terrific. That's another revenue stream. He's hired a general manager. He stayed out of everybody's sight. The fans cheered for him when James Jones was given the General Manager of the Year award, which means some is being forgiven. So I think that's probably my biggest takeaway is that the owner here is no longer the most loathed of sports owners because he was, without question. And that's that. Anything else you guys want to add or we're done? You guys look tired. You guys look tired. Get out.
Yeah, the vacation time was definitely taken away a little bit by the sun. So I think now we're going to
gather ourselves. I see how this works.
No.
Yeah, this works. Okay. It says we have less than a minute. So I'm just going to say goodbye. Hey, Claudia, can you do me a favor? Can you just smile a little bit? You look like you're just.
Am
beat.
I not smiling? You I am really like tired. Beat.
And her voice is gone too.
Yeah, her voice is gone. Can you go rest your voice?
Oh, yes, I can. Real quick, Spurge was saying that I should be like an in-game host. I was like, well, I have to do a sport that doesn't play back-to-back days because I lose my voice at any time I'm somewhere loud.
All right, we're going to get cut off here. So goodbye. Goodbye to all of you. Thanks to all of you for watching. Have a good night.